So my strongest recommendation for you is don't get Rich upset, okay? He's been tweeting about downloading the app. Just do it, okay? The reason that we have been able to survive in this ministry together is his office is down there and mine is over there. Once he's bit into something, don't even bother, okay? So if you've gotten any of the messages that say download the app, do it now for your own self-preservation, all right? I'm just saying, I've been married almost 40 years too, so I know something about peaceful situations and things
get
like
the
that.
App.
What?
Get the app.
Get the app. Yeah. Just get the app. Because if you had the app, then you got a notification. Because I got a notification. I right there, 12 minutes ago, join us for a live dividing line at 4:30 EDT. And there's actually two more. Okay, those are going back to yesterday and day before. So you can even look back in history. So get the app, folks. Get the app so you know what's going on. I was just the reason we're doing this, I think I mentioned briefly yesterday, I just did a Q&A session for the Runner Academy Ezra Institute. I am now one of the fellows of the Ezra Institute, Joe Boot. By the way, I haven't asked if I could do this. I'm going to go ahead and tell you he has written a fantastic book that I cannot wait till it is available. I'm assuming it'll be published by Ezra Institute. It will challenge you. It has helped me. It has challenged me, just like the Mission of God challenged me a lot. This will too, but it's about maybe a quarter of the size of the Mission of God, maybe even less. So if you've been intimidated by that monumental work, this is a little harder hitting. You're going to love it. So as soon as it's available, we're going to make sure that everybody knows about it and can get hold of it. Really is a really good book. One of the things that it helped me with is clarifying the issue of the church and the kingdom. Because if you don't have clarification there, you will think that any positive view of the future will require a certain denomination to take over and run everything. It's not the case. The church and kingdom, intimately connected, but not the same thing. That was an excellent discussion. So be watching for that. I think it's called The Lord of Kings, the church and politics, something along those lines. I'd have to pull it up. I converted it to MP3, listened to it twice now, and it'll be really, really great. In 2006, I believe, I looked it up. I ran across Sunday night. I ran across someone, I think, sent to me, posted to my timeline in Twitter or something. It was IFB preacher clips. And the IFB, Independent Fundamentalist Baptist preacher clips, the IFB preacher clips guy, I don't know what he does this life, because I would not want to be listening to this much IFB preaching, to be perfectly honest with you, but it's a cross to bear or a mission to fulfill or something. I don't know. But he posts something from Facebook, and it was that day's, I think, Bible study lesson, if I recall correctly, from Doug Stauffer. And as soon as I saw that, what IFB Preacher Club says is they'll put a part of what they're posting, a portion, they'll transcribe a portion of it for you, which takes a lot of time, by the way. And it was saying that he had forced me to, like, take a bunch of stuff out of the King James Only controversy and all the rest of this stuff. And I'm going, what? We did a second edition and it was an expansion. I didn't have to take anything out. I had to find places to have space to put something in. I added stuff to it, but what is he talking about? So when I got home, I listened to it, and what I first did is I said, that name rings a very, very, very faint bell going back a long ways. So thankfully we have search engines, and I went back and found out that it was in 2006 that he had made some claim. I challenged him. I sent emails. If I recall correctly, offered the opportunity to debate the issues that he was claiming. He wouldn't respond, went silent like these types of guys tend to do. And that was it. I was not able to see anything else after a certain period in early 2006. I think that was right before we moved in here, wasn't it? Didn't we? Yeah. So I think it was right as you all were working on stuff down here was when all that stuff happened. Yes, we were in the palatial estate of your garage. Yes, that's where we were at that time. So I looked it up, and here was the IFB sermon clips. Let me pull this over here and do this, and I think that's as big as it's going to get. I wish I could get it bigger, but I have a problem with people behind creating modern Bible versions, especially James White. I did not know that I was behind creating modern Bible versions, but evidently I am, even though I'm actually the one that has said we've got all the English Bible versions that we need. In fact, we have more than we need, but I guess I'm still behind it. I have a chapter in my book called James White Versus What's Right. He updated his book to change things I pointed out. Okay, so there's the things that I saw. He updated his book to change things I pointed out. I did not. That is a falsehood. That is a blatant, bold lie. And I am challenging Doug Stauffer, and you can see at Doug_Stauffer, S-T-A-U-F-F-E-R, is his Twitter handle. And you can find, click on that. That'll take you over to the church website. He's down in Niceville, Florida. Now, Niceville to me sounds like something, that sounds like something in the Superman thing. Where'd he live? Something like that. But Niceville, Florida is right on the coast. I mean, it is what I would call hurricane central target. Okay? I mean, just right there. I hope the building is built facing where the strongest winds would come with the best building you can, because I mean, that is Hurricane Central. Anyway, it's only a 5-hour trip from Atlanta. I'm coming to Atlanta for G3. So I'm saying to Doug South, if your people actually think that what you're saying is true, I don't fly now. I'm not doing the vaccine. I don't do the masks. So I'm not flying, but I'm driving. And in fact, here, this is a good time. Did you see this, Rich? Whoop. Come on, get over here. Oh, this is on Max. Okay. Can I do it this way? Come on. Why won't it let it over here? There. There. It finally went. Well, you want everything maximized. So it went back to max. Why is it doing this? It's Chrome. I don't like Chrome. I wish I had something other than Chrome. Well, I can't pull it over right now. I'll have to close this window to get it. I'll show it to you later on. I have a graphic I want to show you. The Gospel Super Spreader. Did I? Oh, did you see it? Okay, yeah, I've got it. I want to show that, but I don't want to get rid of this first. This is actually playing. I don't know why it's playing. It shouldn't be playing. And the problem is, I can't. Okay, I can do it over here. I need to make sure that, why do you have my sound off? Yeah, it looks like it's headed to you. We didn't test this beforehand. Let's see if this is going to work. Let me just try playing it. Let's see if we can hear it.
Listen, somebody wants to carry an NIV. Carry an NIV. But I'll show you what's wrong with it. And I'm not going to hate you for it. Now, I do have a problem with the people behind creating the modern versions. And as it's real and it's documented, especially a guy named James White. He wrote the King James Only controversy. I have a chapter in my book called James White versus What's Right because of that book. Then when he updated his book, he changed a lot of things that I pointed out that were the problems in his book, even the appendices in the back. His big verse was Titus 2:13. I think 11 times he quoted it. Well, he went back in the back and he changed it to where he only quoted it like 3 times because it was his main argument, and it was easy to disprove once I understood the truth.
Well, okay, so there's the claim. Doug Stalford, sir, you're making things up. You're making things up. Okay? Other than 2006, the only time I ever heard of you, and I changed nothing in the King James Only controversy. Here's the two editions. All right. So Titus 2:13 is discussed specifically in regards to what is called. Now, when you say this is my big verse, I simply point out and have pointed out for many, many years that the King James Version, okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and then it says 267 to 270. So 267 to 270 was the section specifically Granville Sharp School and the King James Versions. That starts on page 267. All right. And now I look at Titus 2:13, and that's now pages 334 through 335. But nothing's changed. So we expanded the book. The book got bigger. And here is Titus 2:13, Grammar Sharp School. This is the new edition. You're lying, sir. You're lying to your own people and your own church. I made no changes because of you, because you had nothing worthwhile to say. So, if you want to make that kind of a claim in public, I challenge you. Here's my invitation, Doug Stalford, and anybody who wants to make sure that he hears this, feel free to do so. You know, contact him on Twitter, send an email to the email address, kindly. Just give him the time index to the program. Let him know. I will come to your church. All right? We can do this debate in your sanctuary. You get home field advantage. All right? Cost you nothing. All right? I carry my own accoutrements now. My own accommodations. It's called a fifth wheel. So we'll come to Niceville and we'll debate Titus 2:13, 2 Peter 1:1, which is better, the New American Standard or the King James Version. How's that? I mean, that's anybody who says that's my main verse obviously hasn't read these books. Doesn't make a lick of sense. But I will defend Granville Sharp's rule. And I will demonstrate that Titus 2:13 and 2 Peter 1:1 teach the deity of Christ, and I'll do it in your church. If you have the confidence of your convictions, if your people can actually believe that you will stand before them and tell them the truth, then you should be going, let's do it. When's G3? Do you want to come the week before, the week after? How are we going to do this? Let's get it set up. Because you're on the very, very southern route. I'm discovering there's sort of a super southern route, and then the southern route, and then sort of the higher up route, and the northern route for getting to the east. Okay? I-10, I-40. different ways. And so you're on the super, super, super southern part. So I could either come that direction and then go up to Atlanta, or after being in Atlanta and speaking at G3, come straight down. It's a 5-hour drive from Atlanta to Niceville. And I believe it's Milton. I think you're close to a place called Milton. I found a RV park there that I could, drop the fifth wheel at, drive on over. Let's do it. Because when people stand in front of Christians and say, I forced him to change his book when you had nothing to do with anything, I find that extremely offensive. You are abusing those people when you tell them untruths. And I can prove it. So, do you have the courage of your convictions, or will you be as silent as you were in 2006? That's the question. So, there you go, Mr. Stauffer. Let's see what you got. I'm willing to do it. We'll see. Now let me see if, now that I closed that, if I can finally, that was easy. Yeah. Yeah, so here's, this showed up on Twitter. Here's the gospel super spread. Well, I appreciate that. That does look a little bit like the little dinky 19 footer that I drove back to, squish that baby down. And my arm is significantly longer than my body in that, but that's okay too. the graphic looks great. So we appreciate the gospel super spreader. Of course, that's not what I'm driving. I'm driving a fifth wheel. So there is a difference between the two, but same difference. There you go. We appreciate the gospel super spreader. And we will take the gospel super spreader down to Niceville. And if Brother Stauffer does not have the courage of his words, maybe there's somebody down that area that would like to have me come by, and we can, you know, there's a lot of King James onlyism down there. And so if there's some brave souls down there that would like to have me come in, I'll do an entire evening on the errors of King James onlyism. Or I'll do an hour and a half on the errors of King James onlyism and then an hour of Q&A. How's that? Why not? Let's make it worthwhile. Rich just said, so what you need to do is remind folks, and this is a really good idea. I'll tell you the story real quick. The big trip I have coming up, which you can help to make happen, the support us link at aomn.org has a travel fund, that you can help us with. Gas ain't as cheap as it used to be. But anyway, gonna be speaking, for example, at Redemption Hills Church. You're gonna be up in Colorado Springs with Jason Lyle. Gonna be speaking up in Montana. Gonna be speaking, of course, in Moscow a number of different times. I mean, so many times that I'm actually gonna have to be recording stuff the morning I pull out. We're gonna have to be starting early just to get things done that day. And I'm now arranging. I was able to do this because of the road trip at aomin.org email address. We've put together sort of a pushpin map type thing. And I'm coming back through Las Vegas, and there was a church in Las Vegas that had written to roadtrip@aomin.org, and I'm like, okay, so I can just click on that. Up comes the contact information, email address. Wrote to the pastor, said, well, it is the last stop, so there's lots of things that can go wrong along the way. But Lord willing, the creek don't rise. I don't get run off the road, whatever. I don't come down with 47 different diseases. Right now, as scheduled, I'm going to be coming through Las Vegas, and I would have this evening to be able to be with you. And so, Lord willing, that's what's going to happen. And I was able to do that because we had that kind of information. So, roadtrip@aomin.org. Yes, sir.
Now, just for clarity here, I'm pretty sure you're going to be at Hope Chapel.
I'm sorry?
Hope Chapel.
Oh,
in Colorado Springs, and then Redemption Hills is in Lakewood, Colorado. Yes, it is. Lakewood,
okay.
It's in the Denver area, metro Denver area, but it's
it
in Lakewood. So that's what's coming up there. So I just
wanted
to make
sure. Yeah, and then there's another one, I think, in
Frenchtown.
I think it's called Frenchtown. On my way up to Idaho.
Right.
And then the one on the way back is in Las Vegas.
So once we get all that nailed down, we'll start putting the calendar together so folks know where you're going to be, when you're going to be there.
But with all of this, when it's on the road trip, and it's on the days I'm traveling, it's completely dependent upon road conditions, weather, mechanical breakdowns, health, everything else, because we're doing it as we're traveling. And so we have to, that's why I'm saying let's keep it fairly informal and things like that, because I will have been driving minimally 4 hours that day, sometimes longer. And so that's just sort of necessary to let people know. It's a cool way to do things, but there are going to be times when it's just not going to work out. So we do it somewhat tentatively because you recognize we're traveling. Well, and that's true even when people fly, you know. I mean, you've got flight cancellations and all sorts of wild and wacky and crazy stuff happening these days. So anyway. All right. One thing really quickly, let me drag this over too, and I'll make it big, though it's small. This is a graphic that I ran across, and let me just, it's too small to see. Verses about God relenting or changing his mind. Okay? So, here you have 2 Samuel 24:16, when the angel stretched out his hand toward Jerusalem to destroy it, the Lord relented from the calamity and said to the angel who destroyed the people, "It is enough, now relax your hand." Jonah 3:9, who knows, God may turn and relent and withdraw his anger, his burning anger, so that we will not perish. A number of places in prophecy of Jeremiah, "Now therefore amend your ways and your deeds and obey the voice of the Lord our God, your God, and the Lord will change his mind about the misfortune which he has pronounced against you," etc., etc. So, this list of texts, if this was the early 2000s, it was over 20 years ago, all right, we're getting old, but if this is the early 2000s, this would be about the open theism controversy. There was an attempt to get open theists expelled from the Evangelical Theological Society, which failed, because the ETS statement of faith just simply wasn't full enough to exclude open theism. But that was around the time that I did my debates with John Sanders, and that's where the discussion was going on. Bruce Ware was writing books on the subject, et cetera, et cetera. These are the standard open theist texts. And, of course, there have been responses provided for every single one of them. You can go back. I remember, I don't know how many years ago it was now, I did a whole sermon series on the offering of Isaac upon the altar. Because that one's frequently used by open theists. And they emphasize, you know, here's God didn't know. God didn't know Abraham's character. And he did not know whether he would do what he had commanded him to do. And now I know means, yes, I have just now come to learn something. God has learned something. So the point is, this is standard open theism stuff. But what you probably couldn't see or didn't notice, or maybe you did when you looked down at it, who made this? Right down at the bottom. You're going to explain. Oh, www.soteriology101.com. That's Leighton Flowers. So it's Leighton Flowers that's saying, even if we understand these passages as anthropomorphisms, it does not change the fact that the inspired text does not have a problem describing God in these terms. Therefore, why should we have a problem with people describing him, understanding him, and relating to him in these terms? this man so wants to be an open theist, it's like his greatest desire for Christmas. It's, I just want to open a box on Christmas morning and it says, you can be an open theist without losing your job, as in a Southern Baptist entity. He wants to be an open theist so bad he can taste it. And he's giving us every indication of it. All the time. It is amazing. But it's like I said, I think he should just do it. Layton, do it. You've got so many followers for Soteriology 101. You don't need that job with the SBC, right? I mean, you could find, I mean, especially now with Ed Litton, do you really think anyone's going to care if you just come out as an OOT instead of just an OT? You're an OOT instead of an OT. Come out of the open theist closet. Yes, that's what you need to do. Because you know it's what you want to do. You know it is so much more consistent with your position. It is perfectly provisionistic. Right? And you know it. So just go for it. You know, I think you just need to step out there and say, you know what? This is where I am. Be open about it. Be open about it. Anyway. All right. let's see here. Did you see this? This again, Woke Preacher Clips produced this one, and I appreciated it a lot. This one's just a slam in by itself. You got Phil Vischer down here, you know, the VeggieTales guy who just is that wonderful grinning leftist. And Phil, someone just tweeted me, what are you going to say when conservative Christians start losing their children? And I just replied to him and said, to what, rock and roll? Help me out here, fella. What's coming down the pike that I don't know about? And then on the right, Medical Journal, parents should lose veto power over children going trans. And that is a medical journal. Let me see here. This is the Journal of Medical Ethics. Nancy Piercy tweeted this. The Journal of Medical Ethics says parents should lose rights over their children. Quote, taking LGBT patient testimony seriously also means that parents should lose veto power over most transition-related pediatric care. This is from the Journal of Medical Ethics. Now, aside from this being such an excellent example of why no one needs to be listening to Phil Vischer anyways, this certainly leads us once again to the key reality that the foundations of our society, which had been deeply influenced by and the categories of definitions created by a Judeo-Christian worldview, a worldview where you have a God who is the source of morality and ethics and rights. You have a creation, and therefore there is a created order. We have been saying for years, and the past year and a half has demonstrated how important this is, but the fact that right now we are in the minority. And in this situation, in the Judeo-Christian worldview, minorities are protected, because they're made up of people who are made in the image of God. In the new totalitarianism, in the secular worldview that has now become predominant and is being acted upon by governments around the world, it doesn't matter. No one's made in the image of God. So if you're in the minority, you bow to the will of the majority. And you have no rights. Because any rights you have are given to you by the state. That's, by the way, that was one of the best parts of Joe Boot's upcoming book. Really helped me to see how deeply influenced I have been throughout my life by a fundamentally un-Christian statist attitude. Now in hindsight, foolish, silly idea that you can actually read the Bible and then go, the state is a neutral actor that will actually act upon its principles and will do what is right. If you understand, if you have anywhere near a biblical anthropology, anywhere near a biblical doctrine of man, when you put a bunch of sinners together and give them power, what does Romans 1 say they are going to do? That was the wisdom of the founders, was the limitation upon what the state could do by recognizing that the rights that the people have come from God and cannot be abridged by the state, which is why the new regime is doing everything in its power to wipe all of that out. Wipe it off the planet. That's what they're doing. So, anyway, again, recognizing that statism, and now recognizing that journals of medical ethics, how do you get literally using medical procedures to destroy the bodies of children, make them never able to have children themselves, when they're 8, 9, 10 years of age? This is child abuse, and the medical ethics journals are promoting it. How can that happen? Because worldview is all determining. And once you begin operating on the foundation that human beings are merely accidents, ugly bags of mostly water, fizzing chemicals, stardust, all the standard terminology, once you start acting on that, see, up till now, it's been, well, okay, so you got some people in the academy, and they think this way, and isn't that weird, but it'll never mean anything else. No, eventually people start acting on what they've been taught. Up until now, up until the past few years, there was still enough of the foundation standing that we could assume, okay, that's stupidity, but no one can ever act on this stupidity, and now they are. And there's nothing to stop them. Now, they have no foundation to stand on. It will collapse. It has to collapse into utter anarchy. Anarchy breeds totalitarianism. Save us from ourselves. But that has no foundation either. That's our hope. Is God will protect us until the whole thing just collapses and we can go, okay, you want to know where I went wrong? We can tell you. We can show you. There is only one way this is going to work, because you happen to have been made by a man who died and rose from the dead. He wrote the owner's manual. You want the owner's manual? We'll give it to you. This is where you can find peace. This is the only, it's Christ or chaos. That's all there is to it. But to have medical, the weaponization of medicine, again, we had not seen this before. Not in this way. We had not seen this before. But now you're seeing how massively effective this is. I didn't pull it up, but did you see that poor testosterone lacking man who did the video where he's singing a song? I guess the tune goes to Frozen or something. Thankfully, I only had to hear Frozen 2 once. I feel for all of you parents who have it all memorized. I really do. But he was going to get his second vaccination. And he's videotaping, well, you know, using your phone, videotaping. Oh, man, talk about dated language. But he's recording himself going, because we used to have tape and it was, oh, never mind. But he's going to get his vaccination and talking about how his life is going to change and all the rest of this stuff. And a nice high falsetto, too, because he's just really not very masculine at all. But he has been emasculated by panic and fear. And if you have a worldview where this life is it, you are fizzing chemicals, and those chemicals are only going to fizz for so long. How you can't have any reason to feel that anything you do will ever matter, because nothing matters at all. It's a pitiless, merciless universe out there. And a big old chunk of rock could come along, smack into this planet, and end it all tomorrow, and no one will care. That is the worldview. And that worldview will result in you trying to have cosmic justice now, which means you will promote your life at the cost of anyone else. Because they're different chemicals. And if you can fizz stronger than they fizz, you win. That's all there is to it. I mean, Darwinism fits in perfectly here. That's what Darwin's all about. That's what Darwin's all about. Man, all this stuff is connected together. I hope you see how the Christian worldview, a creator, purpose, redemption, the unity that comes from all of that, is the answer to this utterly destructive mess that we find ourselves in now. We have to communicate this to our kids and to our grandchildren. And we need to write it out in these great books like the one Joe Boot has just written, and then hide some for posterity. You know, if you've seen Fahrenheit 451, yeah, there's a reason why they're burning books. Hide some for posterity. Communicate it down the road. That's what we need to be doing. Anyway, so taking LGBT patient testimony seriously also means that parents should lose veto power over most transition-related pediatric care. Folks, once you buy into statism and then you join the medical community to the state, this is what you get. And there is the thinnest slice of difference between whoever wrote those evil words, and they are evil words. Can you imagine standing before God someday having written those words? Can you imagine standing before God someday when it is revealed in the courts of heaven that your words resulted in the deaths, suicides, mutilations of thousands of children? You know what it's like to stand before God someday? That's why they do everything they can not to think about the fact that they will stand before God someday. That's why the Biden regime wants 4 more years of public education to try to dull that as much as possible. And man, when you think about all that the state has, it's sort of depressing. We have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit raised Jesus from the dead. That's the point of the New Testament. They got nothing in comparison to that. That's why they need 4 more years. And that still can't stop the Holy Spirit. Keep that in mind. Keep that in mind. Journal of Medical Insanity is what you should call it. That's just un-stinking believable. Want to see some really creepy stuff? Here. Yeah, Rich is going, that wasn't creepy? Read the subtitles, because you can't understand what this guy's saying, because he's speaking Chinese. Unless you speak Chinese. There's different kinds of Chinese, too. Read the subtitles. Watch his mannerisms. This is from
2017. 后来可以做成一个细菌，现在做成了一个酵母。酵母有多大呢？1200万个碱基。我们一个人的基因的细胞的基因有。
I just realized we have a lot of people who listen to this. So what I'm going to do, turn him down a little bit. I'm going to read the subtitles because we have people who listen. So that, I'm sorry, guys. I just thought about it. So let's start it over again here. In 2019, we'll make it weekly as a regular job. So we synthesized a yeast. Firstly, we synthesized a virus. Then we can make a bacteria. Next, we synthesize the yeast. How big is the gene of yeast? 12 million basic groups. Human has a gene with 3 billion basic groups. We achieve the level of tens of million now. So no doubt in the 5 to 10 years future, we can synthesize any life chemically. This is not kidding or even threatening in public. The progress of artificial life probably is faster than artificial intelligence. It will bring us more problems than ethics, religion, philosophy, and law. However, regardless you like it or not, the future prospects and vision, we bring it here. From transgenics and gene editing to gene synthesis, it's as rapid and earth-shaking change in just a few years. Especially the gene synthesis is conducting in industrial level. In the past few years, we only maintained the level of a million basic groups per year. But in 2018, we can hit the million target just in 1 month. In 2019, we'll make it weekly as a regular job. By 2020, we will synthesize the millions of basic groups daily. What's the indication? I'm sorry. E. coli has 20 million basic groups, so we can make a brand new bacteria in 2 days. We can make a beneficial bacteria and also make a terrible bacteria. Human beings have experienced the war of cold weapons, hot weapons, and the atomic bomb. It must transform to live weapons, biotic weapons. Extremely horrible, but the prevention will be upgraded also. See that? The prevention will be upgraded also. Well, what might that be? Like, I don't know, vaccines? But the point is, he's talking about the ability to create artificial life. And we can do it because we are looking at the genome. So, let's make it even creepier. Here is, this is atheist philosopher Yuval Noah Harari. And he's talking about the hackable human. The hackable human. Listen to what he has to say.
This danger can be stated in the form of a simple equation, which I think might be the defining equation of life in the 21st century. B times C times D equals R, which means biological knowledge multiplied by computing power multiplied by data equals the ability to hack humans, R. If you know enough biology and you have enough computing power and data, you can hack my body and my brain and my life, and you can understand me better than I understand myself. You can know my personality type, my political views, my sexual preferences, my mental weaknesses, my deepest fears and hopes. You know more about me than I know about myself. And you can do that not just to me, but to everyone. A system that understands us better than we understand ourselves can predict our feelings and decisions, can manipulate our feelings and decisions, and can ultimately make decisions for us. Now, in the past, Many tyrants and governments wanted to do it, but nobody understood biology well enough. And nobody had enough computing power and data to hack millions of people. Neither the Gestapo nor the KGB could do it. But soon, at least some corporations and governments will be able to systematically hack all the people. We humans should get used to the idea that we are no longer mysterious souls. We are now hackable animals.
Do you hear that, folks? No soul, no longer mysterious souls. You are hackable animals. Biological knowledge, computing power, data equals ability to hack humans. That same man, someone sent this to me after I posted that. That same man said this. You don't have to bring it up. I'm just going to read it. The one thing that is certain is that we are going to become far more powerful than ever before. Far more powerful than we are now. We are really going to acquire divine abilities of creation. In some sense, even greater abilities than what was traditionally ascribed to most gods from Zeus to Yahweh. If you look at it, for instance, the creation story in the Bible, the only things that Yahweh managed to create are organic entities. And we are now on the verge of creating the first inorganic entities after 4 billion years of evolution. So in this sense, we are even on the verge of outperforming the biblical God in creation. Thankfully, Dr. Boot, in the book that I have made reference to, also had a whole section on transhumanism, its origins, intentions, this type of stuff. We are not accustomed to thinking about these things. Technology is a wonderful gift from God when it is used under His Lordship. When it is used to usurp His position, it has the potential of destroying the human race. Now, Christ isn't going to allow that, but the potentiality is there. And what you need to remember, yes, sir?
I was going to say that what I found just gave me chills watching that was how he could present this in such a calm, cool, deliberate manner. And you, and then referring to the Nazis, you're like, yeah, okay, that's probably how their guys, this is their long-term dream. And yet there were scientists who were part of that that saw the diabolical evil, the pure evil behind it all and escaped.
Yeah.
Some did not escape with their lives. They tried to. But,
well, yeah, like I said in a tweet, if you militarize and politicize medicine, you end up with Joseph Mengele as your private physician. And yeah, that's what we're going toward. Hopefully you all noticed the explosion of nations announcing just this week, that they are going to mandate vaccination for everyone. France. All health workers, it's coming. They're going to demand to do this. Now, this is at the very same time that more and more voices are being silenced but are trying to speak out to say, we don't know the long-term impact of these things. There are serious, serious credentialed scientists who are saying, look, this spike protein is showing up everywhere in brains and hearts and in genitals. We don't know the long-term impact. But you must keep one thing in mind. The people behind this global Great Reset, and it's global, the people behind this have been saying for over a decade, that the Earth is overpopulated. that we need to have less than half the number of people on this planet. Think about what that means. Why are they so absolutely religiously devoted to abortion? Well, because it's culture of death. We know the spiritual reason. But in long-term planning, the greatest thing these people could ever see happening is if we discover 5, 10, 15 years from now that these vaccines, and if it's not this vaccine, I hope you all realize once you give in on this one, that's not the last one. There's going to be the next one and the next one and the next one, and it could be changing. And you have to trust, just trust, that there's nothing else in that syringe. But what if we discover 5, 10, 15 years from now that we have radically neutered the next generation? That we have crushed reproductive rates? That is exactly what they want. They've said it for years. It's in their videos. It's in their books. And people are like, no, no one would ever do that. You crazy conspiratorialist. How are they going to get us down to 1.5 billion people on the planet? What's the process? You have to stop reproduction. You've got to. So when we see these situations where governments are simply saying, do we have enough memory to remember back about 14 months ago, 15 months ago, what was the mantra? We can't overwhelm the health situation. We can't have the ICUs filled up with people. We don't have enough ventilators. Remember, it was all about not overwhelming our hospitals. Is that anywhere near a possibility right now? No one even talks about it anymore because everybody knows it's not going to happen, and it's not happening. But you still now have the Gestapo coming after you with syringes? Why? Because it has nothing to do with a virus. That's why. It has to do with establishing the precedent. And then the next one, and the next one, and the next one. Look at the worldview. Look at the worldview, people. I can't believe you Christians who are sitting there so naive that you can't look at the state and realize these people really hate God. They really hate God's ways. And why do I think I can trust them? Wake up. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing. Anyways, heavy stuff. Yeah, I know. Heavy stuff. But hey, you're seeing it every day. Every single day. This country has now said, going to have to do this. This country. And we're seeing the very fabric of society crumbling. I pray for my brothers and sisters in South Africa. That nation's on fire. I have seen video of shopping malls on fire, totally looted. And I've been in those shopping malls. I have shopped in those shopping malls. I've been there. I know where they are. And they have been destroyed. And the government, inept, corrupt government, that has been inept and corrupt for decades, has no ability to hold this together. None. And if you're sitting there, boy, that's terrible in South Africa. It never happened here. Really? Really? If you haven't been praying, you need to be praying now. And not, oh Lord, bring back the old America. No, Lord, grant repentance. And if you have to tear this whole system down, may we be there, standing there at the end, ready to rebuild it under the Lordship of Christ. All right, one last thing. before we sign off. Had a couple friends contact me yesterday, because they were quite upset. And they said, did you see what Sam Shamoon did? And I said, no. No. I mean, the only reason that I see anything, the only reason, for example, that I saw that just Gail Ripplinger-esque insanity that was posted on his YouTube channel about transubstantiation in the Bible was because somebody sent it to me. I do not follow the man. I do not listen to what the man has to say any longer. But I know that as he watches this, there is still a part of him that is well aware of the fact that he knows that multiple times over the past number of years, he has come after me and he has attacked me. And I have continued to pray for him. And then we would talk. And he knows that I know what has gone on in his life. And I am not going to respond to him the way that he is now attacking me. The man literally said in a video clip I saw yesterday that not only am I, do I have no accountability, which is the greatest example of projection I've ever seen. I've told you over and over again, you need to be a churchman. You need to be involved in the church. You need to be under the authority of elders. You need that accountability. And you're sitting there saying, I'm the one that's not accountable. You have lived your life without accountability, and you know it. You're projecting it. You're projecting it on other people. And then he said, I may well be demonized. Wow. Well, I think that's more projection because, Sam, you know you cannot control your anger. You cannot control your pride. You've admitted it to me. You know that. You know that. And so I think that's what you're afraid of. Because whatever you've tried, it's always failed. Look what it's done to your life. It's destroyed it. It's absolutely destroyed it. So we need to pray for Sam Shamoon. We need to be open and obvious. There have been times when we've promoted the man. The man should not be in ministry. Sam, you should not be in ministry. You are not qualified to be involved in ministry in any way, shape, or form. And you are bringing destruction to yourself and the people around you. And as much as I have tried to help you, I'm obviously not the person to help you now. You need to find people who can. And the circles you're running in now, it's not where you're going to find that help. Not where you're going to find that help. So, people need to be aware. You know, Sam has done a lot of stuff in the field of Islam, knows the hadith backwards and forwards. None of that matters. It's a sounding brass, a clanging gong. Because as many people have pointed out, he can start off praying, oh Lord, you know, may you be glorified in my words and da 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 da, and the next sentence is vile and hate-filled. He's been doing that for years. And those of you who are still palling around with him, you haven't helped, by the way. Because as far as I know, almost none of you are accountable to a church either. So you've helped with that. Now you see the mess it's created. So the church needs to be aware. If you believe in justification by faith, if you believe in sola scriptura, if you are on this side of the reformational divide, Sam Shamoon is not on your side any longer. So be aware of that fact. He has left all of that. But I don't say that to hurt him. I say that to protect the church and to say to you, Sam, you need help. You need assistance. And you're not going to find it where you are now. You're really not. So pray for Sam Shamoon and that situation, that there would be, the Christ would be honored one way or the other, but especially in bringing him out of the difficulties that he is in now. So, well, we covered a little bit of everything today in right at 1 hour. So managed to pull it off. So thanks for watching the program today. If there is a next time, I don't know why we're still on. We were even saying it. The Lord must be just blinding the eyes of the censors or something, because how many things that I said today have gotten other people completely booted from every bit of social media? All sorts of stuff, but we're still here. So, but we do not presume upon the grace of God. So, until next time, at the grace of God, we'll see you. God bless you.